Good morning. How's everybody doing? Hi, Mike. Well, what I want to do this morning is first let you know it is a low attendance day in churches all across this country. Does anyone know why? Daylight savings. Yeah, but we don't have to worry about that here. We don't save time. That's right. So what I want to do this morning is I want to talk about sort of a spiritual secret that Owen likes that. And it's not all that much of a secret. I think thousands and millions of Christians throughout history have walked with God and discovered a resource that brings them encouragement, that brings them confidence. And what I want to talk about this morning, what that is, and sort of how to make that operational in our lives. And so, since that's a little bit of a big goal, I thought maybe we should pray and ask God for God's blessing. Lord, it is an amazing promise that you are with us. God, that in wisdom, you guide and direct our lives and my life. God, my life is, God, you are my strength. God, I thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit. God, I thank you for the comfort of your word. God, I thank you for the body of Christ. God, I just tell you I'm grateful to know you. God, my times are in your hands. Lord, they are secure with you. God, my future is certain. God, with you. God, I thank you for all those amazing truths. And I thank you for this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. This is where all your schooling will come in handy. If you stick your hand into a fire, what happens? You get burned. Every time? Every time. Not 9 out of 10 times? No. Okay. I'm ignoring this question. If you put your hand in water, what happens? You get wet. Every time? Every time. Okay. If you jump out of a four-story building, what happens? You fall. Which direction do you go? Down. Do you ever go up? Do you go down 9 out of 10 times? 99 out of 100 times? You go down. Isn't that a big... I make a big point. I like that. Like, we need to believe that. And just as we can understand the certain laws of nature in the natural world, we can be certain, that certain, that every single promise of God is true. Every time, every promise, He will keep it. And when God makes promises, He keeps them. Doesn't matter the circumstances. It doesn't matter the craziness. It doesn't matter the chaos. God keeps His promises. And this is the secret to confidence, to encouragement, to strength in our lives. To the degree that you and I believe the promises of God, is to the degree that we have encouragement, confidence, and strength. And the world's sort of crazy. You know, I jumped on CNN yesterday, and even if you don't watch the news, you sort of pick up things that that the world's talking about? And you just look and you're like, wow, ISIS is crazy. They're destroying stuff and they're beheading people. And you look at the governments around the world, you're like, wow, governments are crazy. And then I look at my government, I go, my government's crazy. And I look around and I go, oh, we have a rice shortage. Oh, we have a corn shortage. Oh, you look out. It does not take much to make you start to feel uneasy. And your whole faith can start to become a little discombobulated. And obviously there are things that hit a little closer to home. Right? You're in a company, starts to have some cutbacks, start to get a little sense that maybe people aren't so happy with you, and you start going, I don't know. Am I going to lose my job? What is going to happen to me? And we will go through uncertainties and difficulties and hardships within my life, outside my life. And I think the only way we go through all that in life and get to the end with a stronger faith, get to the end boasting in all of who God is if we learn and discover the promises of God and how to hold on to them. God is not outside of time. Or God is outside of time, sorry. God is outside of time. He's outside of time. So none of these circumstances in the world, none of the circumstances in my life matter. He's not subject to the laws of the economy. God is not subject to the laws of this country. If there are men and women that believe and hold on to the promises of God, God will come and work things out in supernatural ways. Because God's promises are true. We can trust His promises. And I'm going to read a bunch of verses here in the first half of this teaching, and in the second half, we'll look at a bunch. But I want to read you a verse in Joshua 21:45. He has come to the end of his life. Joshua has seen a whole lot. There's been it is in one sense the end of a whole story that God has written. And what he writes is this. He says, not one of the good promises which the Lord had made to the house of Israel failed. All came to pass. All right, so what's the story? So God's people are in Egypt. They're slaves. They cry out to God. God comes. He raises up Moses. How does he do it? First of all, he has this couple give up their baby. Not because God is mean. God's never mean. He's never been mean. We can feel like he's mean. The devil can tell us he's mean. But God's not mean. He takes Moses. He keeps him alive. All the babies were going to be killed. These parents feared God. So he goes down the river in a basket. We sort of know the story. And the daughter of Pharaoh looks up and she just happens to be there, just happens to see the baby. This happens to be that the baby cries. Right? And then she cares. I don't know why she should care about a Hebrew baby. Her dad didn't, certainly. But she does. Then she looks for someone to nurse the baby. Finds Moses' mother. Moses' mother gets a little more time with her baby. All the miracles in Moses' life, I won't go into them, but the miracles, all the miracles to get him out of Egypt. And then just even in the wilderness. Right there in the wilderness. No supplies. No refrigeration. And there's food. Birds come and they land. Oh, food. Manna comes from heaven every day. There's food. Their clothes do not wear out. Their shoes do not wear out. Miracles. God continues to support them. So at the end of 40 years, God directed Joshua to go into the promised land. So Joshua's going to go into the promised land. There's giants in the land. There's fortified walls. There's lots of army equipment. And who are these guys? These guys are slaves. So you get a bunch of slaves without any supplies. I don't know, you know, like how much they're making, how much they're trained or have equipment for war. And God says, go in there, I'll drive them all out. I'll drive them all out. Joshua believes that promise. He believes that promise. And for all of Joshua's life, he is defeating giants and pagan kings in this land through the promises of God. And at the end of his life, he says, you guys are witnesses. You guys have seen it. All you guys have seen it. All of God's promises prove true. Every one of them has come to pass. That's amazing. That's amazing from a man who would be scared, had to have been. I'm going to read you, some verses about God's promises. And the goal here is that faith comes by hearing. We would just hear these and believe a little bit more and a little bit more in the faithfulness of God to His promises. So 1 Kings 8, 56. Blessed be the Lord who has given rest to His people Israel. According to all that He promised, not one word has failed of all His good promise, which He promised through Moses, His servant. Psalm 12:6. The Lord's promises are pure, like silver refined in a furnace, purified seven times over. Psalm 13:30. God's way is perfect. All the Lord's promises prove true. He is a shield for all who look to Him for protection. Psalm 71:22. Then I will praise You with music on the harp because You are faithful to Your promises. Oh my God, I will sing praises to You with a lyre, O Holy One of Israel. Psalm 91:4. He will cover you with His feathers. He will shelter you with His wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. Psalm 106:12. Then His people believed His promises. Then they sang His praise. That's the order. When you believe His promises, you feel like singing. When you believe Him, you sing. If you don't believe Him, you probably don't feel like singing. Psalm 27. Would have despaired unless I believed I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord. Psalm 119:140. Your promises have been thoroughly tested. That is why I love them so much. Oh, I love that verse. Because have you heard people? Have you heard people from stage that have lived a whole life and they go, all the promises are true. God has been so good. I've seen this fulfilled and that fulfilled. I love hearing that. Because I want to live a life there. And God's promises are true. And you can see Him tested in the Scripture. You can see Him tested in the lion's den and tested in the flood and tested in Egypt. And they proved true. No matter how much stress or strain or how much doubt, God is keeping His word. Because that's what God does. I'm going to read a whole chunk of Psalm 145. The Lord is merciful and compassionate, slow to get angry, and filled with unfailing love. The Lord is good to everyone. He showers compassion on all His creation. All Your works will thank You, Lord, and Your faithful followers will praise You. They will speak of the glory of your kingdom. They will give examples of your power. They will tell of your mighty deeds and about the majesty and glory of your reign. For your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. You rule throughout all generations. The Lord always keeps His promises. He is gracious in all He does. The Lord helps the fallen and lifts those beneath their loads. See, God is good. He's good. He keeps His promises. He's good. He's good through and through. In all He does, God is good. So God can't be anything else. Did you know that? God can't be evil. God can't be unjust. He can't be unloving. He can't be mean. He can't be unwise. He can't be foolish. He can't lie. See, all the promises in God's Word are backed by the honorableness of who God is. Romans 4:20. Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger. And in this, he brought glory to God. I think believing brings glory to God. Verse 21. He was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever He promises. And because of Abraham's faith, God counted him as righteous. It just makes me think, it's just the work of the Lord. He said the work of the Lord is to believe. You just believe the promises. Okay, Romans 15:4. Such things were written in the Scriptures long ago to teach us. And the Scriptures give us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promise to be fulfilled. And that's the hard part, right? As we wait patiently. That's the difficult part. Because God always keeps His promises, but the timing of them is not always to our liking, right? And it wasn't always to the people in the Scriptures' liking. Because all over the place, it is wait and wait, and I have to wait. And how long do I have to wait? And waiting. And in my life, God is working everything out for good. In your life, God is working everything out for good. And when we hit the places where we're in tears, where things are super emotional, when you're in the fetal position on the floor, in those times, go back to the promises of God. Go back to the promises of God. Now I want to look at four promises. So I want to look at four of them. And so these you can pick up your Bible for. You turn to Matthew 5. This is what it means to keep our eyes above the waves and the promises of God. Thinking about that is, we were singing, Matthew 5, verse 11. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Okay, so we're to rejoice because of something we believe. I rejoice in persecution because I believe a promise. Right? We're supposed to believe something, and that brings joy. What we believe is, according to the verse, have a great reward. If I wasn't persecuted, I wouldn't have a great reward. I have a great reward. And that's why people that have been deeply persecuted in different countries and throughout the centuries have had an amazing joy. There have been times, there are where people are watching their wives and their children getting eaten by lions, and they're singing hymns. They're singing. Why? Because I have a great reward. Because my wife has a great reward. Because I will see them soon. If you don't, let's say you're in the middle of trial, you're in the middle of difficulty, you're in the middle of pain, you're in the middle of, this, what you believe is very, very important. If you don't have a promise, why should you endure? Right? If you start believing, what do you start believing? The pain is too much. I can't do this. If you don't have a promise. You got to grab the promise. All right, let's do, we're not persecuted all that often, especially to death. Let's turn to one that hits home a little more. Let's go to Philippians 4. You guys are going to help me with this one. Okay, Philippians 4, page 832. Okay, verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Okay. How often do you struggle feeling anxious? Right? They say we're in anxious days. That just means we're in days where it's easy to not believe the promises. That's what it means. Okay. So why don't you explain to me, can someone explain to me how this promise works? What do you need to do to make this promise work? This is a little bit of a conditional promise. Okay, trust and believe him. Any other pieces? So you have to present a request. Okay. Anything else? With thanksgiving. So how does that work? You guys do that. What does your Thanksgiving look like if you were to do this? Thankful for the promises. Okay. What was that? Okay. We worship. That's good. The character of God. Yeah. That's pretty powerful, isn't it, bro? If you're thanking God for the trial, that's pretty powerful. And there's reasons to. There's reasons to. Ryan, did you have a thought? So there's some trust there. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So I present a request. I thank God for things I don't want to thank Him for. Honestly. And I trust Him. And then I trust Him. Now, if you do those things, there's a promise attached to it. What's the promise? Peace. Peace. Amazing peace that you can't quite understand. Right? So sometimes you walk into this, you sort of walk through these steps, you do it, and then you're sort of walking in peace and you're like, wow, there's really peace. And I wonder if God's up there going, well, yeah. I made the promise. There's peace. And I just wonder for us today, do you believe this promise? Do you believe this promise? That God wants to give you peace. That you can walk in that peace because of that promise given. Okay, let's turn to Matthew 6. And none of this stuff is easy. Or, I mean, I don't think that one's easy. It's true. Here's one. Matthew 6:25. Therefore I tell you, do not worry. So, what you catch is the will of God in some of this. Right, the will of God is that we're not anxious. That's God's will for your life. Right, and so when he says, therefore do not worry, that's the will of God for my life. God wants me to have a life that is free from that. That's sort of junk. That is not God's heart for me. He wants me to look above the waves. Do not worry about your life. What you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Okay, so when we worry about our life, I'm worried about my life, I'm worried. What am I worried about? I'm worried about me. And God is going to take our worrying about me and he's going to link it to a promise here in a second. Let's keep reading. Verse 26. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? Okay, skip to verse 30. We get the idea. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Whoa, this is what happens. When I worry about me, when I'm worrying, and so because I'm worrying, I'm looking in, I'm worrying about me, you know what happens to my faith? It becomes small. That's what happens to my faith when I look in. So then verse 31. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Okay. Verse 32, he says, your heavenly Father knows that you need them. What are you eventually believing when you say, see, if you're worrying about you, you're worrying about me, right? I'm worried about the stuff. What are you starting to believe? That God doesn't know that this is going on. That's what you're starting to believe. God doesn't know this. God doesn't know I need this. And Jesus is saying, your heavenly Father does know. And then he gives a promise. He links He links it to a promise. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Okay, so at the moment, I'm sitting there and I'm starting to get anxious, okay? I'm sitting there and I'm starting to worry. I'm thinking about the future. The future is amazingly difficult to think about. And I'm here. And I start to worry. Okay, the promise is, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. So what is seeking first His kingdom and His righteousness at that moment or in my life at that time? What are the practicals? What does that mean to you? I'm actually asking you. What does that mean to you to seek His kingdom and His righteousness? Prayer. Okay, that's a good one. Pray. Seek His kingdom and His righteousness. Any other? Trust. Okay. His word. Okay, seeking Him in His word. Loving others. Okay, so I'm going to go with loving others for a second. So, is that seeking His kingdom or His righteousness? Are those different? Which one would you put that under? Anybody? It's all encompassing? Okay. You can think of it that way. His kingdom, someone would say His kingdom. Seeking His kingdom. So from seeking His kingdom, I'm getting outside of me and I'm loving somebody. I'm loving His church. I'm doing evangelism. I'm seeking His kingdom. I'm seeking the good of Him, the good of His kingdom. I'm turning to others' focus. Okay, that's a good practical. Prayer's a good practical. These are good. Any others? Obedience to His commands. Yeah, I think that's a good one. You could think, okay, I need to seek His kingdom and His righteousness. Is there anything I'm not obeying? Is there any sin in my life? Is there anything God wants me to give up? Can I add more prayer? So if I were, let's say you're going to lose your job. You're worried about it. I'm worried I'm going to lose my job. This is going to be bad. Okay, God, is there any sin in my life? God, I need to seek You. I'm going to seek You in prayer more. I'm going to get up early tomorrow morning. I'm going to pray late with my wife tonight. Whatever. And then this weekend, I'm going to give it to Your kingdom. I'm going to do evangelism, and I'm going to mow my neighbor's yard, and I'm going to encourage Eddie Smith, and that's what I'm going to do. And if you do something, if you have practical steps of faith there, you can rest in this promise. All these things will be given to you. You can rest here. The more you worry, the more I think you should seek God harder. And you can rest because there's a promise. It's a promise. Like gravity, you go down. The promise exists. Hebrews 13:5. This will be our last one. While you're turning there, I've sort of been going through a little bit of a time where I'm rebuilding my life on all the big foundations to make sure they're all there and healthy on forgiveness, on grace, building things on the promises of God. Just good foundational things. This is Hebrews 13:5. This one's crazy to me. Page 853. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Okay, stop there. Why? Why should I be content with what I have? Because it's sort of natural for me not to. The whole world is running after more. I want more. I want more. I want something more. That's the way the whole world works. I live in here, and God's asking me to do something that is completely different and so completely hard. Why should I do that? He says, because God has said, never will I leave you and never will I forsake you. So the root of covetousness, which is what the old translation would call the love of money here, covetousness, is linked, right? Is linked to not trusting God. Wanting something bigger, wanting something better, is somehow linked to not trusting God. So why do we want more? I want more because I don't believe I'm secure. If I get more, I'll be secure. So God gives the promise so that I can be secure without that. If you believe that promise, and will never leave you and never forsake you, you will not have to buy more. So another place in the Bible, it says that covetousness is the sin of idolatry. Well, why is wanting more like idolatry? Because what it's saying is, I can't trust God. I can't trust Him. I don't want to trust Him. So I'm going to get more. And once I have more, I can trust it. You see that? Now, I was talking last night with a group of people in my living room, and we were talking about the manna. So God brings manna for these guys, right? He's trying to train the Israelites in faith. They're going to need a lot of it. They're going into the promised land, trying to train them in faith, and He gives them manna. And He gives it to them. He doesn't give them manna in the form of, you get, this is your year's supply. This is your week's supply. He gives them on a day, and He says, you cannot pick up more than one day's worth. Well, can you imagine in you being, well, I don't know if God's going to bring it tomorrow. I don't really know, and we're out here in the desert, and I don't know if I'm going to get a chance to eat, and I don't really know if I want to trust God. So I am going to pick up 2 containers full. Even though God said not to, because I don't know. And what happened to that manna? Turned to maggots. God said, you will not. You will learn to trust me day by day. That's what God wanted for those guys. He is building those guys. Your security is in my promise that I am with you. Your security is that I am with you. It is not in how much manna you can accumulate. Okay, now let's keep going. Verse 6. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? The same reason that we want more because we've stopped believing that God is here is the same reason we're afraid. We've stopped believing God is here. Man can do nothing. If you're afraid, believe the promise. It's linked to the same promise. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. And I'm going to show you that in a different place. Go to Joshua 1. We are going to go, let's see. And we are also going to go in Joshua, it's page 151 between Deuteronomy and Judges. Verse 5. No one, he's talking to Joshua, and he says, no one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Same promise, right? What is that promise linked to? This is what's the next verse. Be strong and courageous. Listen, God said this to Joshua because he wasn't strong and courageous. God doesn't tell you something if you don't need to hear it. Joshua is trying to lead a bunch of people. He's a young leader. Moses is gone. He doesn't have the same relationship with God that Moses has. He's going in against giants, and he's scared. And God says, I will never leave you and never forsake you, and he links it to his courage. and his confidence. And then go to verse 9. He says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous." He needed to hear it again, apparently. That's okay. God will say it again. God's okay where we're at. Do not be terrified. Let's see. "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified." There it is, being afraid again. "Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged." Now we're starting to get a hint of what he is. Terrified and discouraged. "Do not be. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." God links fear and the promise of God being with us. It is the principal promise in the New Testament that God is with you. If Jesus came back in all His power and all His glory and He came back in the clouds and He stood at this room and then there was an army outside, would any of us be scared? I wouldn't. See, every problem in my life, every problem in your life is linked to what you believe. And what you believe is linked to the promises of God. Do you think the promises of God are reliable? Do you think they've never been broken? Every time you rely on them, your hand gets wet. Every time. And there's two ways to use the promise of God. One of them is in hardship, right? I'm facing trial. There's a difficulty. Something I don't like. I have hardship. There's things I might not believe, right? So Timo can't run around. His ankle got messed up. He can't run around for a really long time. He's really bummed about it. I would be too. What are the promises of God that relate to Timo? What are they? What are the promises of God that Timo should grow up and grab and pull close to his chest? I think about other people here. People that have difficulties and hardships on God's provision, or whether they can handle what God's given them in family or in difficulties. And it's like, okay, what are the promises of God? We can go get, we can grab, we can pull close to our chest. Because they're what give us strength. The other way we can use the promises of God is you can get one, bring it to your chest, make it yours, stand on it. When things are going well, stand on it. Know it. Bring it deeper. Bring another promise of God. Stand on it. And you start to stand on the promises of God. And God starts to do things in your life. And we need, this world needs people right now that are standing up, rising up and believing God's promises. And God will do amazing things. People who wait for His power, who wait for His promise. Right? And we have all the biographies. That's why I read biographies. People that have taken a promise, grabbed it, held it, stood on it, made a difference in the world because of it. All of us are probably old enough now where we've realized we are not going to like do great exploits in the world because we're great people. We're not. But I think I could believe promises that God made. I think I could do that. And I think God might work through that and honor that and do things around me. There are 30,000 promises, scholars tell us. I haven't counted. That's a lot. That's a lot. And they're all there. Like, I just think about, we're going to do communion, even though it'll run us a little late. We're going to do communion. But what's the promise of Jesus? Life. "He that believes in me shall live." Can you say that? Say this. "I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Because I live, you too shall live also." I am the resurrection and the life. He promised blessings in the heavenlies. He promised abundant grace upon grace. He promised joy. He promised strength. He promised guidance. He promised us help. He promised us instruction. He promised us wisdom. He promised us the Holy Spirit. He promised us heaven. Every promise in the New Testament, you can just read through. It's yours. Grab it. It's yours. It's yours. It's yours. It's yours. It's all yours. And and when we break bread, we're gonna break it down. What did he say about his blood? Blood, this is the blood of my covenant. This is the blood of my promise to you. God is into giving promises because he's into faith. And when we take bread, you just take it alone. And when you take it, you can just say, you just, God, you gave your life for me, and you gave me these things, and God, I believe your promise, and I remember you. And let's just celebrate those promises together now. So why don't we have Mike, could you come up and play a little, and a couple people pass out.